Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we begin, because now we are going to speak of the non-living, we are going to speak of the monsters still living among us. We're going to use a black candle to protect our energy and protect our space as we transmute this horrific story and talk to the living and the dead. Okay. How was that? Was that a good prayer?
Yeah.
Give me a prayer. Give me like an ASMR.
Thank you for letting us exploit your spirit. We will do it in the most respectful manner that we can, and we wish you the restfulest of peacefulest of rest.
Thousand. And also just remember that exploit is a loaded word, and it's something that we learned from you guys. So all around, we don't mean that in a bad way, just like you didn't mean to do all the stuff, and Alec didn't mean to hurt you. He didn't hurt you. He killed you. So language is important. And so we're going to try to be gentle.
You weren't getting punched, babe. You were just getting slapped.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Taking it back to the herd.
And the last thing I want to say is this is like the way that they use organs for like medical science. We're using your story and your natal chart for soul signs. Research.
For humanity. It's for humanity.
For humanity. Cheers.
Great. Cheers.
Oops. I blew it out.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to the Space Trash Podcast. Dun dun.
Bum 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 bum. Boom, 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 wow, wow. I am Desi Handel.
And I'm Sarah Armour. This is the Department of Criminal Astrology.
Boom, boom.
Welcome to day 29, day 30 of the murder trial. We are going to get into the astrology.
Let's just cover real quick what happened with the case and then tell us like the two biggest.
Yes. Okay.
Characters, astrology, and then in general, the astrology.
Okay. Wait, no. Listeners, you have to let me know how deep you want us to go into this. Because like I could talk and talk and talk about so many facets of this. So the more reviews and positive feedback we get asking specifically for more will help us to know that you want us to. Okay, anyway, long story short, the defense rested their case. The jury was sent into deliberation. And within, now, I know it's a three. Is it 3 hours? Or is it 30 minutes? I want to say 30 minutes, but that seems, but I think it might have been 30 minutes. Maybe I'll Google it. But like literally within record time, they came back unanimous guilty. Lol.
I'll Google it right now.
Yeah, Google it because I think it was really fast. And then at 9:30 a.m. Oh my God, a.m. Alec Murdaugh.
3 hours. Okay. It took 3 hours.
3 hours. Okay. So damn, that is where I'm transparency. The storyteller in me wanted to say 30 minutes. Okay. But it was 3 hours. Okay. He was found guilty. And then this morning he was sentenced. The judge went through and asked every juror, like, do you stand by your, choice?
Decision,
And they were all like, yeah. I mean, couldn't be more guilty. Right. Because this was like the fastest jury decision. Well, was it unexpected? It's unexpected that it happened so fast because everything else about this trial has been so slow. This was supposed to be a 3-week trial. We are now rounding out week 6. And the thing about a guilty verdict is that it needs to be unanimous. Unless they all agree, it's a hung jury. And then I don't know what happens. The judge decides or something happens. Lawyers, literally what happens? I will Google. But it's not good. It's not a good. We need the jury to find somebody guilty, or otherwise they're pretty much proven innocent, or not proven innocent. They're, what is it?
They're, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Usually, it takes a long time for people to incarcerate someone and all agree that fast. Like,
yeah, okay, I understand.
It's like it's a big deal. It's a big deal to. Yeah, I was a bit surprised. It could have been a hung jury because even though he was placed at the scene of the crime. What a win for the prosecution. In the end, they never recovered any actual evidence. But I mean, I do think it's kind of enough. Like, well, if you're at the scene of the crime and that's something that you lied about, he said the last time he saw Maggie and Paul was like about 45 minutes ago, about an hour and 45 minutes. You say an hour and 45 minutes ago, and actually the answer was 13 seconds, or you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, so it's interesting to think that
he placed himself at the scene of the crime.
Also, like, so remember I was telling you, if I had to tell you, like, if I had to, like, if you asked me, what angle do you think Netflix was playing? The answer is he's guilty. And so I think that the entire narrative this entire time has been built in a way that did that never gave him the benefit of the doubt. I think that even the way the story is being told in the media never gave him the benefit of the doubt. But also, you're right. There's like everything from the incriminating, you know, like you taught us last week that the beginning of your 911 call, from the minute that you dial, it's all getting recorded, right? It's interesting.
It's interesting that I'm a legal expert.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe you don't have your license yet. What's going on? Are you studying for the LSATs? What are you doing out here?
Well, I stand by what I said last time, which is, do I need to go to police academy? What does it take? Like, all I want to do is, I mean, I have like so many thoughts about all of
police
these things. Like,
hilarious.
Oh my god, merch, police academy.
Oh my god, police
academy,
bitch.
And then we'll give some of the proceeds. Jesse, you're the designer,
bitch. If we do not make this merch, I will be so mad at everyone this year.
Okay, can we write this down though? I'm writing down on a specific note with my pink pen, police. That's so good. Police academy. Hold on, I'm in love with that. Okay. The bottom line is, this is an interesting case because even though they didn't have any technically physical evidence, it was all about like what was missing, right? It was almost like about the negative space of it, which is an interesting thing to recognize, that something actually is always going on in the, you know, when you're saying what's the other side of the story, it's like, well, the other side of the story might not be that he's innocent. It might be a fucking, let's write that fucking story. Where are the guns? Where is the blue jacket? Where is the blood residue? Where did he throw the brains out? Right. There was so much. Mm-hmm. But before this guilty verdict, I was excited to talk to you anyway, because there were so many characters that came to really sort of round out the big show. Like, it's the finale of Les Mis, when everyone comes out. We got a Buster. We got a testimony from the son. We got experts going
Shut
back
the
and forth.
Fuck up. What did we Buster got, say?
We got Buster. We got John Marvin, his brother, and low-key his fixer, although now high-key. Oh, but the thing I was going to say about what you said before about the media. Number one, if you're on jury duty, you're not supposed to be watching anything.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised that the jury wasn't, is it called sequestered? It's like put in hotel rooms. Like.
Well, oh, real, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Real world road rules, sequestered at sea. They had a harder time getting the headlines on their phones than the people that are jurors on the trial. If you open your phone, especially if you're in South Carolina, I imagine, the first thing on Google News or on Apple News is going to be the breaking details of this case, right?
So yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't necessarily mean that they were being exposed to like the Netflix doc. I just meant when you listen to the story, it's hard not to pin it on Alex.
And I have a few theories, because there's a few things about it that are fishy. It would be hard, and people did testify, people, experts, I imagine, testified like this would be hard to pull off with one shooter. They were two very different kind of guns that required like, dun, dun. I mean, also, he probably spent like life as a video game all this time thinking about how to like do this. So, right. It could have been like the gun was laying on the side of the thing, and then he put it in the back. There was also the getaway vehicle. And you know what I mean? There was a lot of thinking here. But I just can't imagine that the story could be told any way other than he looks guilty, because even if he didn't kill them himself, which I'm actually pretty sure he did based on a lot of things that we saw, there could have been someone else there. Even if he is guilty of them dying, like he's responsible for these deaths, he's responsible for their murders and the others. A little bit of housekeeping from last time. It wasn't $400,000 that he stole from Gloria Satterfield's sons. It was
$4 million
was
it? Which is such a funny thing too, because it's like assuming that he was going to pay them, assuming that if it even existed, the guy was in so much debt. Maybe that was like the whole to do. He's trying to like,
You know, in Spanish, we say marear la perdiz, which is like, you're just trying to do like a look at over here hand show while you're fucking tricking everybody with your other hand. You know what I
mean? Okay. That occurred to me too. I'm like, does this count as like, is what he's going for with these, is this like the worst Ponzi scheme ever? Because like we were talking about, like, why would he want to kill Maggie and Paul? Like the other thing we got wrong on the last pod was it wasn't that she, like, he didn't kill her because she was there. He got her to come home. He said, my dad's dying tonight. Come here. I need you to be here. She said, I don't want to go. Her sister was weeping on the stand being like, I told her to go. She had to go support Alex. The sister walked her into her grave because Alex was like, she got to come home. My daddy about to die. But then it also was like, actually, it was good news. He just had pneumonia in hospice. It's like, I don't know how that's like good news or what. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think it would have been better news if he died a little earlier and could have missed this whole charade, Alex. But whatever, you know, enjoy your pneumonia days with dad.
You're right. It was premeditated. This is what I'm saying.
It was extremely premeditated.
Imagine hearing the story that I heard, which is just like the very, very tip of the iceberg. And then actually sitting through an entire trial where you're listening to firsthand accounts of this shit. Of course, it would be so easy to sit down with a jury of your peers and be like, you guys, he clearly fucking killed everybody.
Right? Okay, but here's the thing. I'm not someone who's ever really been like deeply law abiding, I would say. But like, I feel like if there was anywhere that you'd be like, don't fucking lie, it would be the court of law. The thing is, like, if there was a second shooter, or if he actually didn't, you know, if he set this all up, and then somebody else did the shooting. You know what I mean? Like there are a few like scenarios where this would make sense, but they didn't prove that. That's the thing. They do put him at the scene of the crime, but they don't prove that he did it. And there is one piece that I have thought through, which is Maggie's phone, the whereabouts of Maggie's phone. And it's a piece of the story that one might argue that there was somebody wearing, you know, I don't know, like sockies or something that don't make any footprints with him, or, you know what I mean? Somehow, some way there could have been someone else, because there's a moment where the phones go two different directions. Okay. I think, and I need to make sure that I'm right about that, but that's what I understood from the story.
Oh, mean Maggie's phone and the kid's phone.
The kid's phone. Okay. So after the phones went silent, also some of the language that they like, I do feel like I wanted to give like the lawyers just some performance notes, like just slightly better way. Comics are more efficient with their language, like some of the language choices were like, you guys, like he kept trying to get him to agree, like, do you agree, sir, that you are a family annihilator? Like, are you a family annihilator? It's like, oh, family God, annihilator has no fucking, not merch.
That sounds like the name of like a wrestling character. The family annihilator.
Wow.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
What a good idea. That's where you are an artist and you can really turn the garbage into gold. So anyway, yeah, actually, family annihilator does work in the WWE.
The family annihilator. Alex Murdaugh, the star of WWE. Dude, even Murdaugh is a name for the WWE. But listen to me. So I know.
Can you believe it's Murdaugh? Like, motion to rewrite the word murder to now forevermore be reinstated as Murdaugh. Like, can we just use that as murder
fancy
now?
Fancy kind of murder. It's not a murder. It's a Murdaugh.
It's a Murdaugh. Because like, yeah, that, when you pull a Murdaugh, it would just be like murdering your family. Everything's a murder, but not everything's a Murdaugh.
So let me ask you something. So when you're on trial for murder, and then at the end they say you are guilty, do they tell you why they think you're guilty? You are guilty because.
Well, the judge does a sermon at the end. Can I show it to you?
I'm down.
That's what I wanted you to watch this morning, but it's like,
I'm sorry. I was just like on a walk.
I actually totally get it. I also send you tons of, I mean, I've literally been doing this. Like, these are 6-hour court days. Like, I've watched not necessarily in real time, but I have not missed a moment. And I'm proud to say that, yeah, actually, when I'm committed, I'm committed. And I don't have like focus issues. I just, you know, I clearly can focus. Okay, so wait. Judge Murdaugh videos. Oh my god, this is so fun. Okay. Judge Clifton Newman. Shout out Judge Clifton Newman. While this is playing, I'm going to look up his chart. He was great. I think the judge had a great performance all around.
Oh my god, 2x. Okay.
We can make it slower if you need, but let me know.
Oh my god, that's funny, the way they move.
This has been perhaps one of the most troubling cases, not just for me as a judge, for the state, for the defense team.
Sorry, I suck. Okay, just let it play.
Citizens in the state, and as we've seen, based on the media coverage throughout the nation, you have a wife who's been killed, murdered, a son savagely murdered, a lawyer, a person from a respected family who has controlled justice in this community for over a century, a person whose grandfather's portrait hang at the back of the courthouse that I had to have ordered removed in order to ensure that a fair trial was had by both the state and the defense. And I've sat through the trial. Not only have I sat through the trial, but also as the presiding judge of the state grand jury, sat through and participated in the issuance of search warrants of various sorts, bond hearings, and have had to consider many things. And we have this case, and I'm also assigned to preside over, is it 99 others? At least 99 other cases.
I got 99 cases.
No testimony has come up regarding many of those other cases. I will not make any comment with regard to any other pending matter, as I have been assigned those cases as well. It's also particularly troubling, Mr. Murdaugh, because as a member of the legal community, and a well-known member of the legal community, you've practiced law before me, and we've seen each other at various occasions throughout the years.
He's been a lawyer in the court. They've worked
together.
And
it was especially heartbreaking for me to see you go in the media from being a grieving father who lost a wife and a son to being the person indicted and convicted of killing them.
Jesus.
And you've engaged in such duplicitous conduct here in the courtroom.
Gemini.
And as established by the testimony, throughout the time leading from the time of the indictment and prior to the indictment, throughout the trial to this moment in time, certainly you have no obligation to say anything other than saying not guilty. And obviously, as appeals are probably expected or absolutely expected, I would not expect a confession of any kind. In fact, as I've presided over murder cases over the past 22 years, I have yet to find a defendant who could go there, who could go back to that moment in time when they decided to pull the trigger or to otherwise murder someone. I have not been able to get anyone, any defendant, even those who have confessed to being guilty, to go back and explain to me what happened at that moment in time when they opted to pull the trigger, when they opted to commit the most heinous crimes.
It's like, well, do you think this judge hates watching Mindhunter? Where it's like, I'll tell you the exact moment. He's like, somebody just admit to me what it's like.
Well, that's so interesting to say. I haven't even been able to get guilty, self-admitted guilty parties to just tell me what happened in that moment. I think that like
nobody is telling the truth.
Well, it makes me wonder too, you know, when I was a child, I went through a traumatic experience. And then when I was forced to talk about it to the authorities, I literally could not bring myself to. And so I don't know. I think that in general, one thing that I'm not saying that like, oh, the murderers feel trauma. I'm saying that like, this is a space of so much trauma. It affects like,
well, actually, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he feels traumatized. Like, you can be upset. You should be upset.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
If you just murdered your family. But I have a theory too. Like, I sort of think, well, the judge, let's let the rabbi wrap it up, because he does say a few things that I just think he's a classy dude.
In this case, qualifies under our death penalty statute. Based on the statutory aggravating circumstances of two or more people being murdered by the defendant by one act or pursuant to one scheme or course of conduct. I don't question at all the decision of the state not to pursue the death penalty. But as I sit here in this courtroom and look around the many portraits of judges and other court officials.
It wouldn't have been a penalty. It would have been what he wanted. He tried to kill himself already. Like, he was going to murder suicide him and his family. A death penalty would be a relief. No, he has to live with this. Anyway, sorry. Let him finish there, huh?
And reflect on the fact that over the past century, your family, including you, have been prosecuting people here in this courtroom, and many have received the death penalty, probably for lesser conduct. Remind me of the expression you gave on the witness stand. Was it tangled?
Tangled up,
the
weave.
Oh, what tangled?
So one of the testimony videos one of the testimony videos I wanted to show you was that on the stand, like, the prosecution was trying to get him to basically answer, like, why he lied. Like, why did you lie? And before he answered, he sighed. And it was like a real moment. He was like, because, you know, like, what a tangled web we weave. Once I started lying, I couldn't stop. But it was like, the question was like, why did you lie about being at the scene of the crime? So it's like, it's pretty big.
There's just too much to hide. Yeah.
It's like, but he, you know, I want to say Gemini to Gemini, I acknowledge this man's like commitment to the bit.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
No, when I lied, I continue to lie.
And the question is, when will it end? When will it end? And it's ended already for the jury because they've concluded that you continue to lie and lie throughout your testimony. And perhaps with all the throng of people here, they, for the most part, all believe, or 80%, 99% believe that you continue to lie now when your statement of denial to the court. Perhaps you believe that it does not matter, that there's nothing that can mitigate a sentence given the crimes that were committed. You know, a notice of alibi was filed in this case by counsel in November, and we conducted a hearing, pretrial hearing, in which you claimed to have been someplace else at the time the crime was committed. Then, after all of the witnesses placed you at the scene of the crime, at the last minute, or last minutes or days, you switched horses and admitted to being there. And then that necessitated more lies and continued to lie. And I said, where will it end? It's already ended for many who have heard you and concluded that it'll never end. But within your own soul, you have to deal with that. And I know you have to see Paul and Maggie during the night times when you're attempting to go to sleep. I'm sure they come and visit you. I'm sure.
All day and every night.
I'm sure. And they will continue to do so. And reflect on the last time they looked you in the eyes, as you looked the jury in the eyes. I don't know a person who's always been such a gregarious, friendly person. And cause your life to be tangled in such a weave web.
That's what's
such a situation
scary.
That yours have spun into. And it's so unfortunate because you have such a lovely family, such friendly people, including you, and to go from that to this. You know, your license to practice law has been stripped away from you. You turned from lawyer to witness, and now have an opportunity to make your final appeal as an ex-lawyer. And it's almost, it's really surprising that you're waiving this right at this time. And if you have to do so, it's on you. You're not compelled to say anything. But you have the opportunity to do so.
And I tell you again, I respect this court, but I'm innocent. I would never, under any circumstances, hurt my wife, Maggie. And I would never, under any circumstances, hurt my son, Paul.
Well, and it might not have been you. It might have been the monster you become when you take 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 opioid pills. Maybe you become another person. I've seen that before. The person standing before me was not the person who committed the crime, though it's the same individual. We'll leave that at that. Before announcing sentence on these cases, with regard to all of the other pending cases, are any of them here in Culloden, or I'm sure some of them are?
Yes, sir.
Half of them, or?
I don't have that in front of me, but there are a substantial number of charges here. There's some in Hampton, Archbold, Beaufort, Allendale. There may be others I'm not thinking of right now.
We might have worn out our welcome here in Culloden.
They
have been, and I'll take this opportunity to thank Sheriff Hill and all of the court officials and really everyone I've met and dealt with while here in Culloden County. Just been great. But without any delay, we're going to schedule some of the other matters. I know Mr. Harpootlian's scheduling is complicated, and you sacrificed quite a bit to be able to be here defending Mr. Murdaugh, as well as the Attorney General's office, with all the other many, many things and obligations you have. And to be able to have the Attorney General here, Alan Wilson, for the period of time that he's devoted to being here along with everyone else, it's been quite a sacrifice. But there are other victims whose cases deserve to be heard. And this case has jumped some of those other cases. Perhaps jumped it because of this case resulting in an assault on the integrity of the judicial system in our state.
The irony, though, too, that even in court, he's like cutting the line. Like, this is just, it's like everything about it is so entitled. Like, like literally, like we had to, like other cases had to stop to deal with your case. But it's right. It's what we were saying before. It's like because you are the system.
Yeah, right. I mean, but that was not in his hands, though. I don't understand why they're throwing it in his face. It's not like he was.
He's not throwing it in his face. He's trying to say like this was a huge deal.
Oh, okay, got it.
I think, you know, I don't think he's. Yeah. I think he's trying to say to him like, you've taken up all of our time, and you need to live with this for the rest of your life. And it's terrifying that he was. He's like, no, he's worked as a lawyer in front of this judge before. They're colleagues. He was a well liked guy. He was popular. It's like he's like that's what he's saying. He's like, this is so crazy that like.
I just don't know that, like, I feel like opioid use doesn't make you rage out. That's amphetamine, dog. Like, opioids, aka heroin, you just pass.
Hold on. So wait, put a pin in that. The addiction specialist, Myra Armour, MD, and I had a long discussion about this, actually. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to that. But let's hear it. Let's let Clifton Judge Newman preside.
Law enforcement in our state, even during this trial, and assault on the integrity of the judicial system in our state. Law enforcement in our state. Even during this trial, the law enforcement has been maligned for the past 5 or 6 weeks.
Sorry, last thing I'll say, though, it's like the irony, also a Gemini, but like he is so Trump. It's the same as Trump, which is like, oh, because of you, like we did see how easy a storming of the Capitol would actually be.
Yeah, right.
But, oh, wait, everybody's racist? Like, literally. Okay, here we go.
One who had access to the wheels of justice, to be able to deflect the investigation. And as evidence is pointed out in this case, the looming storm that Mr. Waters talked about, I can just imagine on that day, June 7th, when a lawyer is confronted and confesses to having stolen over $500,000 from a client, and he has a tiger like Mark Tinsley on his tail pursuing discovery in the case involving the death of Mallory Beach, and having a father, for the most part, on his deathbed. I can imagine, I really can't imagine. I know it had to have been quite a bit going through your mind on that day. But amazingly, to have you come and testify that it was just another ordinary day, that my wife and son and I were out just enjoying life, not credible, not believable. You can convince yourself about it, but obviously you have the inability to convince anyone else about that. So if you made any such arguments as a lawyer, you would lose every case like that. Cases you will never have an opportunity to argue anymore, except perhaps your own, as you sit in the Department of Corrections. Anything further?
No.
All right, Ms. Meadow, I sentence you to the State Department of Corrections on each of the murder indictments. In the murder of your wife, Maggie Murdaugh, I sentence you for the term of the rest of your natural life. For the murder of Paul Murdaugh, whom you probably love so much, I sentence you to prison.
Whom you probably. I love he's jabbing him.
I know. He's
for the rest of your natural life.
He's
those sentences will run consecutive. Under the statute involving possession of a weapon during a violent crime, there is no sentence where a life sentence is imposed on other indictments. That is the sentence of the court, and you are remanded to the State Department of Corrections. And officers may carry forth on the imposition.
That's it.
I thought it was a really nice...
You thought it was nice. Yeah, I mean, it's not... It was definitely...
It was like as kind as that could possibly be.
Yeah, I mean, it was well-spoken. He was being very,
judicious!
Yeah, I think that it's impacting because it was a conversation between two colleagues. Because he was
literally like that. You, yeah, well said. Right, like this is not like some guy trying a case of like some crazy teenagers or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a man who they've worked together in that courtroom, where in the back there was a giant portrait of his grandfather that they specifically had to take down for this trial. That
it sounded to me
like the ultimate version of like those portraits where like the eyes are like roving, like lol lol lol.
You know what it sounded like to me? Like the visual I get is that like the little prince was getting in trouble. Now he's in trouble. Like, look what you've done, little prince. You could have just been a little prince.
This is Emperor Has No Clothes.
It's like, look what you've done. So it's like the kingdom has been left to the council. The kings, all the kings are dead that preceded you.
All the kings are dead. All the kings are dead. All the kings are dead.
Now your son is dead. What have you done? You know what I mean? That's what I think he was saying.
Pills under the bed. Alex Murdaugh with the pills under
pills
the bed.
Pills under the bed. Jesus, what the fuck?
So anyway, they said, Buster, do you want to speak? Does anybody else want to speak? Nobody wanted to speak. Except, of course, Alex was like, oh, I'll just say something. I'll just say a little something. Lol. What a guy. Gemini. And what he says is interesting. I am innocent. I would never hurt Paul or Mags. I think in his mind, he's not lying. He didn't hurt them. He murdered them swiftly. He blew their fucking brains out. They didn't feel a thing. There was no pain. And it's interesting too, because even when he was talking about the financial crimes, it was funny because like he was talking about taking loans from the bank, which technically was a loan. And then he was also talking about like borrowing money, which he borrowed money from his friend. But then when he was talking about stealing victims and clients' money, he also was saying, like, I loaned it out of the, like, you know, the 17-year-old paraplegic's account, like, with all intentions of paying it back. Like, in his mind, he didn't steal. He was, like Ponzi scheme, like, using whatever money he had to pay for whatever the thing he needed. Yeah. But he was always going to pay it back, and it might have just been, like, with Maggie and Paul's insurance.
I don't know, dude. That motherfucker got his priorities all mixed up.
Oh, I mean, I agree.
Which, by the way, to this day, look, at bottom line, Alex Murdaugh is very mentally ill. Like, shown across the board just...
Monster.
Just in general, mental illness. Look, even...
ill, right, sick, like a...
An inability to utilize the information that's in front of you or logic in general, an inability to assimilate to human life as a proper fucking human on this planet because of crazy shit. There was some of the stuff that he would do was so unhinged that
motherfucking unhinged.
But just cuckoo shit. But Sarah, like, those are the decisions that he thought with his whole ass, heart, mm-hmm. and brain and mind mm-hmm. that were the most sage decisions he could make. Starting with trying to walk into that little girl's surgery while she was getting her hands sewn back together.
Right.
Number
well,
one.
Well, he was, I mean, you know what it is? Let me reframe this whole thing. Something that we haven't said, and we would be remiss if we did not say, is that first and foremost, this is a domestic violence case. This is about domestic abuse.
Yeah.
He was a walking predator.
Yeah.
It all is so vague because it is such behind closed doors shit. The ultimate assault of your wife is a murder.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. So this person was clearly super mentally ill. And it just really makes you wonder, like, this type of shit makes me go back to and wonder what the value of psychiatry is in our society. I don't mean that there is no value to psychiatry. I mean that, like, sometimes you hear about cases like this where you're like, this sounds like an untreated case of blah, blah, blah. This sounds like an untreated case of this, that, the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Like, this man suffered wild delusions.
Yeah, but while all of those things might be true, first of all, not all mentally ill people are murderous, you know? Left to my own devices, as mentally ill as I get, I'll end up living under a bridge or with some guy I just met before I murder my family. But
exactly right. So let's just be clear. Not all mentally ill people are murderous, but the majority of people...
Not everyone with Tourette's screams, you're fat. It's like, you know...
The majority of people who engage in murder and lying and manipulation to this extreme are mentally ill.
First of all, are men.
Tully. Oh, shit. Are men.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Now,
merch,
women
merch,
kill.
Merch,
they're also
Debbie.
Women. Women tully ill. Women tully ill.
Women tully ill. It's growing on me by the second. It's not quite as natural. But isn't that just sort of the thing? Isn't that the thing? That's how women killers are. It's like, okay, at first you're like, what, a lady killer? And then you're like, okay.
Ooh, lady.
Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, you're a womanly ill.
So anyway, yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude,
right.
So
he's a sick person. He's delusional. But no, I don't think there would be any kind of psychiatric intervention. And even if there were, it would require that that's what the judge was saying. He was saying the reason this actually took 6 weeks instead of three is because the sheer power that you were able to hold for literally no fucking reason in this town. Yeah. And you still abused every privilege you were given. And we all complied. Dude, the fucking John Marvin testimony, his brother testifies to like not knowing what else to do but start cleaning up the brain with my hands. Paul deserves me to clean the brain. It's like, dude, it's a crime scene.
The brother was one of the first ones to show up. No, that's the
next one. I'm dying to show that. We have to watch John Marvin real quick. Any other thoughts on this before I show you John Marvin?
I just didn't know that detail. No, I don't have any thoughts on this. This is just like so intriguing. I mean, I think that like, you know, you and I have a really interesting relationship to darkness. We like revel in it kind of. And then when you, well, I mean, just look, I'm watching this man. And demographically speaking, he is completely opposite to us. And yet, dude, I just think that human beings are drawn to the darkness. And this is something I was talking about with somebody yesterday. It's like the most detrimental thing we can do is pretend like we don't all have murderous tendencies. Like,
I understand. I thought about it the whole time because you were like, what is his motive? Why? I actually really got into thinking about it. And I'm like, no, he thought he was doing them a favor. Not only did he think he was going to Ponzi scheme solve this because he was going to receive the inheritance as her spouse of her $5 million estate. That was like her bounty, lol.
Jesus but then, Christ.
But which then he could start paying everybody off and he might actually be able to get away with this and finally just get to rehab, you know? Like, for the record, yes, good on you for now.
I just don't understand why you
he's been sober for 500 days, but only because he's been in jail.
Also, and Sarah, by the way, there are so many ways to kill a person. When people just willy fucking nilly go out there and commit murder and they're thinking they're going to get away with it, that's the part of about all of this that I don't understand. If this individual had a sound enough mind to actually plan out
untraceable
murder, he could have.
Desi, wouldn't be necessary. You have to understand the same way that we were talking about how Paul is conditioned to just like lie and crash.
He thought that they weren't going to come after him.
100%. He didn't. That's what I'm saying. That's why the whole thing is like, I, Tanya, buffoonish. He's a performer focusing on what am I going to do? The world around him was completely and totally imploding.
Yeah.
And he actually is the breadwinner for this family. He is an assistant. That's a weird piece to me a little bit that he wasn't. Like, he might have been, like, short bus. Can we say short bus anymore? Like,
Before you move on, I have to tell you
just
something.
Just because he had money and he was, like, fun to hang out with, and therefore everybody just bowed down to him like he was King Joffrey.
Listen, there was a case recently in La Paz of a gentleman, a prominent gentleman, who killed himself. And the leader, completely unexpected, like, somebody who well-loved in the community, well-known in the community, very rich, blah, blah, blah. The leading theory was that there was financial trouble or there was some sort of issue. And, you know, that makes me think now, you know, you're saying like he really thought he could save them. So there's this like sort of double-edged sword to the concept that men are the sole breadwinners and that men have to carry the entire weight of everything, sort of like the entire weight of the family. And it drives some of them to the point where they're like, no, I'm the man here. I'm the one that needs to take care of this. And if it means putting a fucking bullet in my head, I'll do it. It's not the first time that I hear, you know, I went to school with a girl who found her dad hanging from the rafters and they later on found out that it was over gambling debt. And if it's only men who fucking kill themselves over the prospect of not being able to provide or having been ill providers.
I also think for somebody like him who's like excessively wealthy, but like didn't feel, I mean, it's really worth watching. Like his whole testimony, it's really funny because I do think there was a part of him, that Gemini in him. I think at a certain point he knew that he was very likely going to be found guilty. Like there was a turn in the case when they showed up with the video of him at the crime scene, the party was over. Then he had to sit on the stand while he was already testifying and then change his story. So then the prosecution was like, the whole thing is just a lie then. Like, how can we believe anything you say? Like now the story is literally different. The whole thing was that he napped for an hour. He made this whole big deal of I napped for an hour. And then the new story, he's like, the lawyer's like, when did you nap? He's like, if I napped, it was like for like maybe like a second. He's like, so you napped for one whole second. And then,
oh my God.
It's just like, so no, I think, but the thing is, he's not,
you know, that's part of the reason
he's not
why
delusional.
The judge is saying,
he is the law. He's not.
Well,
delusional.
That's part of the reason why the judge was saying he wasted their time. Mm-hmm. That's exactly part. I mean, that explains everything right now, watching those sort of last words that the judge offered, because, you know, it's like, look, man, you knew from the job. I mean, like Little Prince, check this out, right? Like, you knew what you were doing this whole time.
Right, like, I hope you're happy.
You still made us go through this entire fucking process. You knew exactly. Not only, and it's because you're the system. You were on both sides of this. Like, you made us tango. You made us dance like a bunch of fucking monkeys just for fun. This was a case closed. Like, open and
closed. This is, like, a really huge moment of exposure for this person.
You know, I think that, like, as a judge who has worked inside of a system that was created, but
not to mention, if you're not watching the video, he's black. Like, the fact that we are in low country, the real low country.
I know.
South Carolina. And this
get the charger, it's going to die. Hold on.
And okay.
Yeah.
But like,
it stood out to me that he was black.
And I just, his charts, I pulled his chart up too. Like, it's just, he's in I mean, this whole thing is just made for cinema. Like, I just cannot believe the poetry.
Yeah, dude. I know.
Like, oh my God. Wait, real quick. Okay. So it's 2:30. And when I was at the dentist the other day, I had an absolutely revelatory experience at the dentist. It was I was and still continue to be highly joyful, elated. And hey, look, I have, you know, codeine. So, you know, Alec, am I on your level? Like, would I murder? I feel actually opposite of murderous. But
exactly.
No, I lost a wisdom tooth, but I am all the wiser for it. I had an incredible time. But it was funny because I was scheduling the follow-up appointment. I feel like I just had a baby. I feel like an unbelievable relief. Dude, you know what's funny? All my material, I have about 45 minutes on my experience with adult dental work, you guys. And then the dental. So at first when I started writing it, I had the dental work. Then I didn't have the dental work, so I had to talk about the dental work. Then it was like, I don't even give a fuck about dental work. Why am I even talking about dental work? And now I have nothing else to fucking talk about. Like, and everyone's like,
full
it doesn't even look
moment.
Like you have an underbite. It doesn't even look like you do. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's still, I do though. They're like, you're just making that face. It's like, no, I'm literally not. Like, stop.
Who
like,
the fuck has ever said to you, you're just making that face?
Bro, I think Molly on this podcast, everyone's like, you're going like this. And it's like, I'm literally not.
What?
James would say that. And I'm like, no, they're like, we're looking at you. We're talking to you right now. We know that that's. And I'm like, no, it's literally the way that my teeth are. Like, look, it's my
teeth.
I just had
a really interesting.
It is what it fucking is,
Sarah.
I'm not talking bad about myself. It is what it is.
Like you will say things to me that sound like everybody says ba ba ba, and you say things to me, and I'm like, who the fuck says that? And you're like, everybody. And I just had a realization when you click with somebody or you have this experience where you're like, we are really good friends. Wow. This is like really easy chemistry. Wow. This blah, blah, blah. Like literally you are the reason why you love somebody so much is because they can see from your perspective so much. Like sometimes you say things to me and I'm like, who the fuck says that? That sounds so retarded. And then I'm like, oh, that's why you and I get along so well. Well, because it's almost
right,
like
because
I am
you would never waste my well, and you're the opposite of Murdaugh. Us talking about Murdaugh is more valuable. We're taking something again, garbage into gold, baby. We are space trash. It's in the name, okay?
Yeah.
Murdaugh trash. but like we don't have to waste any time on like untruths. Not to say that truth can't evolve and science and spirit work together, you guys. As we learn more, we share it and it connects us to the divine and each other and the lab, you know? But anyway, I agree with you completely. Well, and that's also why this case is so chilling, because the truth is all that Gemini. What's the song? But anyway, the reason this is such a big deal, and I think why there still might have been a hung jury, and even watching him, you kind of liked him and his family did have his back. It's that like everyone thought they saw him and everyone thought he saw them, and no one except a little guy named Crazy Eddie Smith. The other thing too, in the documentary, Morgan's talking about how abusive Paul was. Where did he learn that?
Yeah.
You think that a kid just slaps a woman? Like, I don't think so. I think this is someone who's acting like his daddy.
Right. That's a good point.
Driving drunk home, knowing that he couldn't possibly get in a boat crash that would actually have any consequence.
And also, it's like you can't tell me if, you know, again, I'm going to go back to this point where it's like, Maggie didn't know you were on pills. How? There's so much that's like, if a lot of people were blind to a lot of this stuff, it was willingly, because you can't fucking hide. Let me tell you something. He definitely was not taking 100 oxys a day. He'd be dead. That would be a
Didn't you love the way the judge, was like,
yeah, he was like 30, and you were 40, taking 50,
30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 pills a day. Like, he was counting dimes. Like, I mean, unbelievable. I thought the judge really, really crushed. I thought he nailed, he nailed the landing.
You know, so, but I'm saying.
He said, I've worked with you in this court.
Sarah, I have family members who are addicted to Oxy, and you can never not tell. You guys have to understand how much we're not talking about, like, smoking a J. We're talking about, like, fucking heroin. It takes over. You change the speed that you talk, the speed that you walk. I remember looking at my cousin, and it would almost be like he was filled with helium. Like, he was just slow on opioids, bro.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I
don't know. Maybe there's somebody.
First of all, according to Myra, no, some people get really hopped up on. Right, she's like, and she said to me, she said, it's not the same. He wasn't always on OxyContin. He had both. He had oxycodone and OxyContin, and maybe not OxyContin, but oxycodone in a low dosage. It would be really hard for me to get, like, actually addicted to this toothache codeine right now. Right. But I could really like it. And then, like, take two, and then, like,
yeah,
you know, and then and then my body starts to tolerate it, and then I need something heavy, you know. So everything is everything. That's why it's like, you also have to understand where murder could happen, because it's like, everything, I get it, for the weed is a gateway drug, but the vagina is the gateway. It's like, earth is a gateway drug to death. So either way, that's where we're all going. I do think that Alec,
all I'm saying is, this shit was much more blatant than they wanted.
It's a comedy. That's why
it's been going on forever. It's just nobody wanted to fucking give a fuck until now.
Right. The reason that the trial took so long is because he faced them with themselves, which is how fucking dumb everyone's been acting. Like, literally brainwashed, like zombies. Like, this is a funny premise. Like, the whole town's like, no, that's a murder. And, like, these are the literal most, like, gnarly backwoods.
I wonder if they're gonna put grandpa back up. I was thinking that. What do you think? They probably will. And maybe they'll just say, leave it down. That's, their name has been, listen, this is a massive moment in history for that town. The implications are widespread.
I'm so glad this era is ending. We'll get into the astrology. 2008 until literally this week. What is the beginning of the story? What is the end? We're going to do it in depth at the Moonule on Monday. So you're going to want to come, because these are the days of your lives, people. And you know what? Paul and Maggie, 0 days left. So that's what we're here to talk about. So,
oh my God.
Let's take a look at a few other key moments of the testimony. So what video should we, so you didn't see Buster?
No, I actually have not heard. The most I've heard from Buster is the recorded calls in jail with his dad.
What did you hear? Oh, you heard them from the doc.
Right. Just from the Netflix doc. So I have not heard any sort of testimony. I remember we were saying during the first episode, I was saying to you, I've got my eyes on Buster. I wonder about Buster. Like, it cannot possibly be that this whole ass eldest son, firstborn, just kind of doesn't know what's going on. You know, something. He was on the stand, though, right?
He was on the stand. Let's take a look at some key moments. But what I will say is, what even just some of these headlines are saying, let alone the body language, is... that there is a high potential, especially because the actual real story starts with the murder hit and run of Buster's alleged boyfriend, which no one is. I mean, that case needs to be reopened. If at the end of the day, the outcome of this is that Buster Murdaugh lives freely as a gay in South Carolina, then it was all worth it. Like, honestly, if you are going to shame and silence and send your kid into hiding for not being into women, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if he's not straight, then you're going to kill his lover. Like, I don't know. That's whack.
That's the going theory.
that's the going theory. But like the fact that that's even a theory speaks volumes. You know what I mean? Like, like on what, and there's no theories about that, like with Paul, you know, like this is not a town where there's a lot of like big queer action happening. So I feel like the fact that Buster was even who got really close to this guy and they would have secret math time and doing
secret
guys homework
math time. Whoa.
The bottom line is what people are saying is that it's possible that Buster is, wait, I just rolled by a psychologist. Buster Murdaugh testimony shows an anesthesia of trauma. So here we go. Let's take a look at just some highlights of Buster's testimony.
Let's get on it with this fuckery.
Let's get on it with this fuckery. Oh, wait, am I recording? Oh, my God. Wait.
Bitch. LOL.
Bitch, come bitch, on. Bitch, bitch.
You're
I
not.
Must be, right?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Bitch. That would be a crime. Now, that would be a crime. Okay. Only if you need me to slow it down.
They bring the jury.
Bring the jury. Bring the jury. Bring the jury.
Look at all these people just sitting here like it's theater.
I mean, it is theater. That's what I'm saying. Like, I have had this major realization. Like, oh, maybe I should go to law school or police academy and really take over.
She keeps saying police academy.
Police.
What are you fucking Billy Crystal over here?
Police. No, police academy, like, needs to be done immediately. Like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, it should be. There should be a redone of police academy, and it should be women, just like the Ghostbusters.
Police. Okay. And that's, like, when people try to lie to their face, like Alex Murdaugh did, they'll be like, police. Okay, wait, okay. The jury's back. The jury's back. Okay, here we go.
Just the name Buster already throws me off.
I'm sorry about his mother. Please get back. And I'm sorry about your brother.
Sorry about this motherfucker. Okay.
Thank you.
Nice sorry about the
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, that's a mini Alec.
When you are leaving the main house, you told Mr. Griffin that the main entrance was the brick entrance.
Yes.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
But there's also a side entrance, or by the kennels, yeah. Entrance exit.
Yes, sir. Okay, so totally different entrance.
The kennel entrance.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I just want to say, side note, if you're in the mood while you're Googling whatever device you're not using, maybe your phone, if you haven't seen it, Google Moselle property just so you see where he's talking about.
Dude, Moselle. Dude, somebody on Instagram, apparently they're my family member, their name is Grossell Handle.
Grossell is
like just
kind of
Grossell. And then cool. There's...
I feel like this crime scene went from Moselle to Grossell.
And a lot of times y'all would use that... kennel entrance exit to go just like you use the main one, right?
Yeah, you would. I would say that I'm more so tended to use
the bodies were found at the kennels.
You were leaving the main entrance,
mm-hmm.
And you got down, and then you know it's kind of a wire, it kind of cuts off to the kennel too, right?
Sure.
So you go straight or left. If you were leaving at night going straight, and if you were looking out to the left and the lights were on, you'd be able to see the lights on at the kennel just from that little wire, wouldn't you?
Maybe, depending on what lights were on and whatnot. I mean, if it was fully lit up, maybe.
How Almeda, where your grandma and granddaddy were, is that close to the, I think it's close to the law firm, isn't it?
Anywhere in Hampton is close to anywhere in Hampton because it's not very big.
Fair enough.
But, I mean, it's a 10-minute, 12-minute drive out to Almeda, I would think, from a law firm.
How many times had you been there with your dad? I wasn't quite clear with your answers, Mr. Griffin. I'm not trying to be difficult.
I understand, and I can't give you an approximate number, but I mean, I've been out there with him several times.
You said you called. Did you always call when you got there?
Yeah, I feel like most of the time you would call just to tell, you know, because the ladies get nervous, you know, if you hadn't called and they see a car pulling in the driveway, you know, it's just easier to call and let them know, like, hey, we're pulling around, you know, please unlock the door. Or we'd like to come in.
Your mom loved Edisto, didn't she?
Yes, sir, she did.
I love Edisto. I think the last time you've been to Moselle, you said was the spring, maybe a few months prior to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to say yes for the court, not me.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
And you talked to your mom that day on June 7th?
Yes, sir.
And I think you talked to Paul the last time on the 5th, if I'm not mistaken, June 5th. That's what you told him on the interview.
Sure.
Okay. And Mr. Griffiths asked you about the financial troubles and that have come out here. You had no knowledge of your dad's financial difficulties at all, did you?
No, sir.
You really didn't?
No, sir, I really didn't.
And as far as you knew, financially, the family was sound.
Yes, sir.
When did you learn it? What?
I guess on September the. Whatever that day in September was.
So back in the birthday, I guess for your dad, Memorial Day, down at Edisto.
Sure.
And this boating accident, that was pressure on the family, wasn't it?
I don't know that pressure is the right word. I mean, it's definitely an uneasy feeling. You know, your brother is criminally charged, and then you, myself, and my father have civil charges. I mean, definitely unsettling.
I mean, it caused stress within the family, didn't it?
It was stressful. I wouldn't say within the family, because, I mean, you know, we supported each other.
And I'm not questioning that, but I mean, is your mom felt ostracized?
Yes, sir.
She more so wouldn't say that stuff?
Yes, sir.
You were shown the tree video with the shirt and pants. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
When you saw your dad on the night of June 7th, what did he have on?
When I made my way up to the house, he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
You never went back to Mazelle? After this incident?
Well, I mean, if you take June 7th, I've been back to Moselle since then, but I've never slept another night at Moselle.
Did he try to get you to go hunting out there again one time or suggest it?
He asked if I wanted to, and if I wanted to, that I could.
But you didn't want to?
No, sir. Didn't want to go.
That's all I have. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me sit down. Your next witness.
Okay, that was super uneventful.
Sort of boring. He does seem traumatized. My impression is that he has no affect. And even when his father was being sentenced, I mean, they showed him, talk about Gemini shit. Alec is in one of the split screens, and then Buster is in both of them, literally like a Giselle, the Desiree grid post vibe, right? Like you could see the side of his face from behind his father, and then the front on face in that split screen of the, and that's sort of like,
that's crazy. There's something
sort of poetic about that, you know, like, okay, like he's the only remaining son of this obviously two-faced operation of a family here.
Yeah. And I also was wondering as he was talking if he receives training.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shortest answer possible. We were a happy family and just stay really neutral.
Exactly.
This is Maggie's sister.
So that was fine. She was really involved with boys' schools.
Back in June of 2021, was Mr. Randolph suffering any health issues?
Oh my God, Alec, the look and on his face when all these people are taking the stand.
Dude, you should see, no, you should see my phone. I literally have screenshots, tons of screenshots of just his eyes.
I know, dude. They look like, he looks much more comfortable, obviously, when Buster's on the stand. But the way he looks right now with Maggie's sister on the stand, it's like, whoa, that's very telling.
It's telling, but it's also like, how much of it, like, he is a lawyer at the end of the day, like, is how much of it is a performance? Do you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, he did make whatever regret or remorse he feels, he did make these choices, and he did choose to testify for like 3 whole days. He took as long as he possibly could. Like, it's not Adderall brain, it's Oxycontin brain, where he's like, but it's not like sharp. He's just like compelled to make certain choices. And
right, and then you justify have to question,
them completely, like, to himself. He's just justified them.
What's the point of that? And it makes you think that maybe he wanted to make it just look very chaotic, because at the end of the day, the thing he was saying was, somebody was on my land seeking vengeance for the boat accident. So maybe he just wanted it to look like it was this super chaotic scene. But the fact that the phone...
Yeah, but the really stupid thing, though, is like there.
The phone was somewhere else. They had to drive to it.
They had to drive to it. It was,
I didn't that whole part to me was like, this is insane.
I'll explain it. He tossed it on the way to when he was leaving. He tossed it.
Right. I understand.
But he tossed it in the other, he tossed it out of the other side of the car that he turned. So it could have been like, he actually might've even had the delusion of like, I did play baseball in college.
They'll never find
this. When I throw this, it's going to be far enough away that they're going to be able to say, no, he didn't even drive that way.
Which at the end of the day was like, this is the part that I don't understand. I understand the mechanics of how the phone got right to where it got, but why not just leave the phone on her?
Okay, here's my theory. And, I have a theory. Hold on. Whoa. Sorry. I have a theory.
Yeah.
So we know that Alec pretty much insisted that both Paul, the point of Buster's testimony, and he didn't answer it, like, good boy, good Buster, you're a good obedient boy. The point of Buster's testimony was say, you would never just walk into Almeida where his parents lived without calling first. And then it was to say how far that house is. Mm-hmm. The mother usually sleeps at Edisto, lol, all the properties. So the mother loves to sleep at Edisto. She really didn't like to stay at Moselle because she was more of a girly girl. So she always stayed at Edisto. But on this night in particular, that's what the sister's about to say. Alec was like, I really need you to come home. Like, my dad just went into hospice today, which is true. On this day, June 7th, 2021, he got all at the same time. The firm confronts him about stealing millions of dollars and fires him from his own company, PMPED, which also looks like pimp.
Pimp? That's funny. Okay, maybe that's what made him go home and kill her for the money.
Well, it certainly is. And simultaneously, on his way home, he gets a call from one of the caretakers, and it's like, your father just entered hospice. Party's over. Everyone out of the pool, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a day where he's losing his father, who, if you remember from the documentary, his father was actually why Alec might be a big fucking idiot. but his father took care of him in a way that he raised a child that was actually so pampered that he thought he could get away with murder, right? Mm-hmm. So like, lol. Talk about, I mean, helicopter parenting.
And he did get away with murder until he didn't.
That's exactly right. But he did, is the truth, right? So Randolph Murdaugh, though, he was the last of the Murdaughs who really actually was impressive. This is like the Nepo baby generation of Murdaugh children. None of them are actually as successful as any of the previous generations, which is sort of the beginning of the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Rivers made it to E, but we're not hearing from her and we don't want to, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the Alec Murdaugh as like volunteer solicitor. I think that he had been, according to what he told Maggie's sister the day after the murders, whoever did them, took place, what he said to Maggie's sister was, I know for a fact that they did not suffer. They were not in any pain.
Oh, that's right.
Sister's like, we got to find who did it. And he's like, honestly, it's about the bookcase. And whoever did it has been, this is what Alec offered up as the only thing he knew. It's like, brr. He said, whoever did it has been thinking about doing it for a really long time.
Mm.
And whoever did it must really hate the shit out of Paul. That's what I was saying before, right? So I think he had been thinking about it for a long time, because as pressures were mounting, he was like, look, even if I don't kill them, their life's gonna suck. And I can't get Paul out of the boat crash. I can't afford to defend any of us and then pay out settlements in the boat crash. I can't do anything really to ensure that I'm going to be able to keep my baby boy, Paul, out of jail. Whatever the other two murders were, there was really nobody there similar to this one. The boat crash is the outlier here. It was actually an accident. He was an idiot teenager drunk driving a boat, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and a massive tragedy that impacted the way.
Right, multiple people in a way, right, that was like, and in a way that was public.
Yeah. Right.
Like even the Stephen Smith, that impacted a lot of people, but it was like the whodunit of the
Well, the problem town. Is that's what I was going to say earlier. The problem with this specific case is that there was just like more people involved. And so whereas he started immediately, Alec Murdaugh is manipulating and massaging like he's used to doing. He's massaging the situation. Mm-hmm. He's giving people instructions. He's already trying to lay down the foundation for a bunch of lies like he's used to doing. In this case, there was just too many variables and too many other factors and too many people who just didn't have the same priorities as him. You know, I feel like, and I was thinking about this, I feel like Alec, and this is, you might disagree with me.
Oh, I hope I do. That's what make a good podcast.
I feel like he would have helped. I feel like he was like, let's help all these kids. I know that he was trying to set up this other kid, but there's a part of me that feels like they were going to finagle it. Like, I don't think any of them would have gotten. I think that had Alec been in the right mind, there were solutions to every single fucking thing he put a bullet through his son for. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, of course. Like, yeah, everything's figure outable. It's written on my magnet on my fridge, but like this is a guy who is desperate. He's on millions of
that's what I was gonna say.
He made bad millions. Choices and stuck to them. Do you know what I mean? It's like committing everybody, committing to the bit. And it's like, that's what he even said on the stand. He said, the webs we weave. It's like, dude, first of all, don't say that on the stand.
But at that's the thing. Like,
the truest thing he said, which is like, look, once I just started lying, the stupid thing about the prosecution, they spent way too much time being like, when did you decide to lie? When did you decide to lie? And maybe it was a backdoor way, like the backdoor near the kennels at Moselle. But maybe it was a backdoor way to just continue to like show don't tell that like he didn't decide to lie or not. This dude is a liar. Like, it's a way of being, you know. Here's the thing, I don't think
exactly he right. That's what I was gonna say. So it's like, yeah, why would he say that on the stand? I just think that that's exactly how his brain works.
I agree. And I also think, I don't think he was ever trying to, but that's the thing. We're delusional. We're like, he wasn't trying to hurt anybody. It's like, okay, but like, he now has been found guilty in the court of law unanimously for murdering his family. And now they're going to reopen the other two cases. Like, this dude murders people. Of course he didn't give a fuck about the other kids. I think he would have done what he could to keep up the charade that he was a great dude. But no, under no circumstance would it be better for Connor if he took the heat for the If he took the heat for driving the boat, it's like,
I just realized
better off getting a manslaughter charge than your son who actually was driving.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just realized that, like, we don't know anything about his past. So, like, at this point, because oftentimes when you hear about criminals, you do get a certain context about where they came from. And so then you can say, like, either, oh, wow, this kid was just a fucking freak show out the gate.
Desi, we know every single thing we need to know. He is a dumb jock addicted to OxyCotton who thinks that he is literally law and order. He is the law. He's like King Henry VIII. I ameth the laweth or whatever.
I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is that I think that, like, this is a case of, like, he started going up the incline of power. And just all of these factors started to fall into place, like the drugs.
Yeah, I don't think that he was like a murderous homicidal.
That's
maniac.
What I mean.
No.
I mean, like,
yes, I agree with that. That's a different. So different that's more of a. Like, that's what I'm saying, though. That's a Dahmer. That's more of a Dahmer.
That's what
bomber.
I'm saying. So it's interesting because the reason why I mentioned it is because when you listen or you watch or you look, there is in this case, there's so many really interesting, unique pieces about this case. Oh, yeah. But like that's you can see.
I love
these.
This
oh, shit. There's what? These little cracks in the armor. No pun intended, Miss Armor. Sometimes
I got a crack in the armor.
I mean, you got plenty of cracks, but specifically one large one. But anyway, you can see these human aspects of them. It's like they start to crack and you can see the look in their eyes and you can see that, like, you know, sometimes I look at Alex and he's just like, holy shit. Like, I didn't mean for it to come this far. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, dude. Anyway, I'm just riffing. All right.
Yeah,
all right,
man.
Let's get into the astrology.
But okay, wait. The last thing I want to say, though, you didn't see the kennel video. So here's, let me break it down.
Snapchat.
So, okay. Wait, first of all, why do I think the chaos around Maggie's phone? Because I think that on that day when his world was literally, the walls were closing in on him, he was like, okay, this will be the day that you die. And then from there, he didn't really have a plan. He was just like, I'll figure it out. There's literally no one for miles. We have 100 rifles here and I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? He is like us in that he's medicated and winging it. You know, he's Trumpian in that way. Another Gemini. Like, he's just like, I have all the things that in my mind I have figured out. I have an alibi. I'm going to visit my parents. I'm going to make phone calls. Like, he really wasn't. So what I think the reason he took Maggie's phone is because I think at the beginning of this plan, I think he shot them. And then when he was testifying, he basically was like, yeah, the kennel video happened. And then he, quote, got out of there. So it wasn't even like he was saying, like, and then I left, and then, like, if only I hadn't left, and 2 minutes later my family was gunned down, if only I had left 2 minutes later. No, he was like, I got out of there. It's like, okay, you're talking about it like it's a crime scene, but my God. Also, why would you lie about where you were at the scene of the crime if you didn't know that it was going to be a crime? But okay. So I think he took Maggie's phone because I think that he was going, remembering the conversation that she had had with her sister, I think he was going to be like, no, look at Maggie's phone. We did go to my parents' house. My dad has dementia. My mom has dementia. Now I'm going to know. And she just waited in the car and then we drove back. I think for a minute there, he was like, I'm going to pretend that Maggie and I went, but they were already dead is what I think. And so then he was like, well, fuck. And then he was like, it's over there. Somebody took it and ran. I'm going this way. That's my theory.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions though, before we dive into the astrology? It's fucking fascinating.
I'm just so disappointed in him. With everything that he had, he really could have gotten away with this murder. Sorry, Paul. Sorry, Mom.
No, I agree completely. But it's actually like, no, he couldn't. It's like, this is the product of Nepo criminals. Like, maybe it works in Hollywood, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work in murder. Okay.
I've been seeing.
You don't get to just be bred into being a criminal mastermind. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but this was a crime of passion, what I think.
Oxy-passion, like a crime of long-term passion. I think that he thought he was saving them. He's like, you guys don't want to be on this earth when actually the walls fall down. And I think he thought of their killings as like a mercy killing. And then when he decided to kill himself, he kind of bamboozled Curtis Eddie Smith into it. He failed at that, but that's why a death penalty wouldn't be a penalty. He was like down to die and kill his family. He was like, oh, we don't want to live if we're not like rich in charge and being like getting our dick sucked by everyone. Like, I don't want to actually go down. He was ready to die. And he was ready to kill them too. Okay. And Buster, I think he thought he had a shot because Buster was in law school and he went to the gay conversion camp. Not even allegedly. That's just, I'm just being rude. But it, I mean, I do think that he squashed Buster's soul in the killing of his math tutor, the one gay kid in town, lol, who everybody knew he was really close to, you know, like, my guy. So I think he was like, okay, my legacy will be that Buster gets my insurance money. He goes on to law school and continues to be the upholder of law and order in this town. And it's like, you're cute. You obviously didn't do your homework. You obviously didn't do your homework, just like Buster didn't do his homework. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you
wish a gay guy was writing this. You wish you had some smart gay doing this.
Well, then it was plagiarism for Buster, so who knows?
Well, Buster, right, then Buster got caught for plagiarism. Oh my God, right, the irony.
I'm just saying, why would you give a real human that name? Isn't that a name? Isn't that like a name? Like,
it's a family name. So I actually wrote this down.
A vacuum cleaner.
That's actually a dustbuster. Totally different. Oh yeah, I have so many notes on this. Alec Murdaugh said that the reason he lied on the stand is because he doesn't trust the law enforcement agency. It's like, what? He carried around not only his badges, but his grandfather's badges. That doesn't seem official business.
Official business?
Like, lol. So basically it was like Randolph Murder Senior. It's like they all go from like Randolph, Randy, Buster, and they switch off nicknames. So that's the order of it. So he was next in line. There was a Buster coming up next, and he's that Buster. Mm. Paul does seem to be a random name. I think there is more to the story that we are going to find out. And anybody else there was completely and totally coercible into doing whatever to survive.
Absolutely fucking not. If that is the case and there is a second shooter, then that he might person be also needs to get held responsible. No, I don't know, dude.
Well, my only thing is, where was Curtis Eddie Smith? Because the only person that actually came out on top here is the guy who he tried to get to shoot him. And I wrote it down just now. He ended up with a sum total. The only person Alec was paying was the drug dealer, Curtis Eddie Smith. He ended up with $2.4 million.
Yeah, but what was that money for?
Well, he says it was for drugs, but it's also possible. Like, my theory would be, like, over the course of a long time, aside from drugs, it was like, look, you're going to have to help me
launder this cash,
kill my wife and son, and then make sure that my one remaining son gets some of this money.
And he's like, what's in it for me? And Alec,
and he's like, well, you might have
$2 million, dumbass.
Right. It's like, you might have an income. You might be able to move out of your shack.
Yeah. It was funny to think of like,
this you can move out of the gas station finally, Eddie.
Yeah. This podunk drug dealer just holding on to Millie's.
Have you seen his picture?
I've seen him in the fucking thing. He's hilarious looking.
Oh, yeah. Right. In the dock. He's an unbelievable, like, the only friend that Alec actually had in the world was that guy.
I'm just so disappointed at every aspect. I'm disappointed when I see the Mozell property. I'm like, lame. This property's lame.
It's all and lame.
When I hear the details of the murder, I'm like, lame. It could have been more exciting. It could have been better. It could have been cooler. It could have been.
Well, so here's what I think, though. I think that lame. That's where I think that I, Tanya, creativity comes in, where it's like we get to sort of like ideate on like what might. There are all different versions of what might have happened. Like, either way, he was there and he was a part of it, and that's fine.
Like, I've been watching. Listen, first of all, I heard another person say "Family Annihilator" right after me and you talked. So
wait, what? Wait, in the last hour? What do you mean?
I wanted to record. I can find it. I'll play it back. He said, "Oh, you're gonna annihilate your family with that."
Yeah, but that's a sentence. That's like, okay, I'm going to have dinner versus like, I'm a dinnerer.
I'm a dinner haver.
It's like, well, even okay, dinner haver, but really quick, just really fast. Annihilator.
Now we're dilly-dallying and we're going to have to cut most of this, but I want to just really fast. So I have been watching a couple cases just coincidentally where the plan for murder is that the individual plans for whoever they're going to murder. They plan for them to go on a trip. They make it look like either they're getting sent somewhere. I'm sending you. In both of these cases, they were like, I have a rich family abroad. Both of these cases, actually. And these are extremely different cases happening in different places of the world. The person in question, the perpetrator, was like, I have a rich family abroad and they have a couple really good jobs. Let me try and hook you up. And then they're like, look, I hooked you up with a job. This is where you're going to go. Ask for Bernie, blah, blah, blah. So the person that's about
Bernie,
to get
Bernie is like, so that name. Lol.
Right. I'm just making it up. So then the person, but this is obviously premeditated and it happens over the course of maybe a couple weeks. The individual that's about to get murdered starts to speak about how they are going out of town. They're telling people, they're saying we're going out of town. Alex could have said, baby girl, Mag Mag and Paw Paw, I'm sending you on a cruise. I'm sending you on vacation. I'm surprised. That's how much I love you. I'm going to send you on vacation. I can't hear you.
No, he couldn't, because in his mind, the storyline that he is sticking to is that
Sarah, listen to me.
That somebody killed Paul. He was trying to put this all on the boat crash. The reason this happened is people were so angry about the boat crash that anybody would have just snuck in the property and shot him.
I know. But he fucked it all up then.
Dude, he fucked everything in his life up completely in every single way. He's a horrible criminal. Dahmer would never. You know what I mean? I know. No, he's going to eat
it. Dahmer lived with fucking dead bodies in the apartment for months.
No, Alec, literally part of why he fucked this up is because he jumped the gun. So he was like, I'll pretend Maggie was with me. But then like my timeline's like in my mind, it's going to be off, but it's going to be close enough. And when I get back, I'm going to pretend to have discovered the bodies. Do you know how long it took him from the time that his car shows him his car and his phone GPS show him arriving back at the property to then making that 911 call where he's like, I turned them over. I got up close. They were shot in the head. I blah, blah, blah.
4 hours.
17 seconds.
Oh.
Within 17 seconds, he got home. First of all, didn't have a single moment to stop and go, I wish I just hadn't gone to my parents' house. The 2 minutes. Like, I wish I had waited 5 minutes to go to my parents and then come back. He went to his parents and then came back 20 minutes later, lied for a long time and said it was like between 45 minutes and an hour and a half. It was like literally 15 minutes. And the minute that he got back to the property, he called 911. Also, on the way there and back to his parents from his parents, he was making tons of calls so that he would potentially have some kind of an alibi. Like, oh, I was on the phone with him. He didn't kill him at that time. I was on the phone with him. And
then he
deleted them from his phone. They only found that out in the records afterwards, like on the Verizon records that were like, he actually made a ton of calls during this time. He also, yeah, it's just like, there's so much like the step counter is major. It's not just for tracking your doggy walking lady.
Okay. I figured it out. This is how I would have done. I would have hired somebody to do it. Somebody that I know really well. And then I would just set them up with a fucking bank account ticket. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
That's what a cousin Eddie could be. And it might have been. I hope it's his gay lover, if anything.
But why would Alex Murdaugh take the rap for another person's murder? He would have turned him in.
Oh, that's interesting. You're saying he didn't have help because then he would have, like, he, why would he, be like, he would have tried to be like, no, it was him. Right, he would have made like, sure there were other footprints there. Right, he doesn't actually have anybody. Well, that's why all I can think is maybe Curtis Eddie Smith was his lover and he's the only person he actually had his back. But no, you're right. He did this alone. I think he had the guns strategically lined up. One was on the bottom of the golf cart, so he did it from a low angle so it looked like someone else. Because that's the whole thing. Like, we spent a lot of time in court being like, it, based on the angle, the shooter would have had to be 5'2". And it's like, okay, no, but like, that's where he's playing too many video games on too much Oxycontin. And he's just like, oh, if I lay down, it looks like I'm short. Right. And he's a lawyer. Right. So the way he was thinking it through wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to send them on a vacation and actually kill them because I actually want them dead. He was like really trying to like play the system because that is what he was raised with the power to do. But what you're saying is so fucking fascinating. Again, we've been talking about Pluto in Capricorn. When did Pluto move into Capricorn? In January of 2008. And what was that the beginning of? The financial crisis. Now, when we have major slow moving planets moving in or out of a sign, like any good story, you know, I love a bookend. Take me back to the dentist already. Okay, I'll get on stage. Long transits have the same effect. So everybody think back to what story began January 2008. Not only in the collective, but also in your own personal life, specifically in the area where Capricorn is in your chart and the cardinal signs, Cancer, Capricorn, Libra, Aries. I'm a Cancer sun. He's a North Node Saturn in Aries, right? So the cardinal signs for the last 20 years or 18 years, or I guess 15 years, right? 2008, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 15 years have been hitting the cardinal energy. What is that? That's the leadership energy. And in the Capricorn department, that is the money, the ambition, the status, the wealth, the outward facing persona, the government, the rules, right? What does Pluto do when it moves through a sign? It is the ultimate It is arguably the most powerful planet. The slower moving planets are more powerful because everything is, it's like you're saying, like the bigger the planet or the bigger the energy. Pluto's not the biggest in terms of size, but it definitely is in terms of the motion of the ocean, if you know what I mean. Like Pluto is the ultimate, it's your id, it's the power center, it's the unconscious that becomes so overwhelmed with abuse of whatever, abuse of power, really, Pluto's power. It's the abuse of power in that sign that then, even though you try to keep it unconscious, it becomes so overwhelmingly, like, too powerful for its own good that it then explodes and it dies so as to expose the underworld, the underside of all of these power structures in whatever sign it's in, and then be reborn. So at the beginning of the 2008 Pluto in Capricorn transit, it marked the beginning of a financial crisis. And boy, oh boy, if this is not ending on such a perfect note, this is, it's like, actually, it's a financial and family crisis. It's the same thing. That Cancer Capricorn axis. You can't have a financial crisis without it also being a family crisis, because what's the point of finances other than to feed the people that you love, ultimately, you know, like, mm-hmm. unless you're like an Alec Murdaugh, where you're like, well, we had some fun, I'm gonna kill him now and just get out of here. But like,
here, you know, for what I mean? Good time, not a long time.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Really though, that's so Gemini. That is so fucking classic Gemini. But does that make sense about Pluto and Capricorn? Like that it had to expose the underbelly of money and wealth and government. And now, as we're exiting Pluto and Capricorn, we are seeing actually just how personal and rampant between Amber Heard, Ghislaine, Anna Delvey, and I love that everything's at 29 degrees, because it's like, this is the end of winter. Spring is upon us. And it hasn't been spring for 15 years. Does that make sense so far? Any questions, comments? Okay.
It definitely makes sense. There's a new crop coming in. There's a new...
Right. There's going to be a total destruction of Aquarius, but we're going to move forward in the Capricorn realm with newfound structures based on what we've learned, what has been exposed during this time. Now, why all of a sudden do I feel really good about money again? Because I've actually been doing... I gave up money for a 15-year Lent. That the financial...
You're on a money detox? Money cleanse.
Straight up. But that's my karma. Eighth house, Capricorn, Moon, Mars, Neptune, with a Cancer Sun at 27 degrees and a South Node. Libra, Aries. Yeah. Like, I am old leadership coming in here to be the kid to stand my ground and be like, I'm back. I'm going to remain steadfast and I'm going to walk us through this hellscape and then I will bring us back. Like, that is literally how I feel. I am the camp counselor from hell. January 2008, I had no idea that I was poor. I had no idea that I was going to be getting dental work again. And by June of that year, when I graduated college, I thought I was going to be Lena Dunham, like, supported. I thought I was going to just go to Manhattan and my parents were going to rent me a studio on the Upper West Side. And then I would like write my scripts and then like I would be discovered. And like, I never expected to like work. I'm a star.
Wow. That's so interesting.
I was never going to go to DC. The only reason I went to DC is because I literally had nowhere to go. My boyfriend was like, do you want to just move with me to DC? I got a job. And I was like, yeah. And thank God I did.
Yeah.
My Pluto,
I can't believe
and Capricorn,
you remember all that. I don't know what the fuck was going on in 2008. I was 2 years out of graduating. I was in San Francisco. Oh, okay. I was in San Francisco.
I already can tell you, but I think it's a return to art.
I was working at the circus. That's
and now here you
college.
Are back at the moon. You will back in. Dude.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You're returning to the arts.
That's probably where all my kind of like deeper inferiority complexes started.
Okay, that's very Pluto in Capricorn. Keep
now
going.
They're gone.
Right. And that's why I actually,
like,
now,
suddenly, I literally feel like I had an exorcism right at the beginning of this year.
No, that's how I feel too. I feel like, not even the beginning of this year, I feel like when they removed the wisdom tooth and like I felt, nice. First of all, like I had a baby. The doctor was like, he's like, okay, the first one's out. And then they pulled out the wisdom tooth and he's like, second one's out. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, you had a baby. What are you going to name it? And I was like, Isaac. This was in the Bible. And then, oh, that was my big joke. My big joke was that they were like, when do you want to come back? And I was like, they're giving me times. And then, she, you know, it was like 9, 11, whatever. And she was like 2, 2:30. I was like, stop right there. Like, I know it's a hack joke, but like in that moment, also real quick, just because I'm starting to feel it and I got to feel it to heal it. But in honor of Alex Murdaugh, I'm going to take my prescribed painkiller for this hole in my mouth that I'm all the wiser for. So welcome to the dark side, everybody. There are two signs to every painkiller. Okay.
In honor of Murdaugh.
Just to get on his level. Okay. Wow. Now that I took my happy pill, I want to be clear. If I murder my parents tonight, it wasn't me. Okay. So
it wasn't me.
But you caught me on the kennel video.
Wasn't me.
You have to remind me to show you the kennel video. It's so haunting. Okay. But I mean, if we had more time or you guys had interest and wanted to pay us or whatever, maybe we'll do it when we're bored of time. But like the astrology of the boat crash, the astrology of the roadside suicide, not suicide, roadside botched suicide. They're all fucking interesting to look at. Okay. So here are
botched suicide. Everything about this is just a fucking clown show.
Clown show. Literally to like the very red hair, the red hair and everything. No, literally aren't clown wigs red usually hair. Like red.
Sarah. That's funny.
La, la, la. I'm not being gingerist. I love gingers. I'm just saying in terms of like traditional clown garb, isn't it usually like an orange wig?
What is the point of getting a fancy education in law if you're not even gonna be a good villain?
Well, let me just say, I think he's the greatest villain of all time. I've given him everything and he's given us a lot with this absolutely haphazard, poorly done. I think he's actually given a huge amount. And I also think University of South Carolina is not that good a school and he's a legacy. It's like, come on. They're rich people in low, low country. So relax. Okay. He didn't go to Harvard, you know? Okay. Shall we talk about the crime scene?
Yeah.
June 7th, 2021. Moselle Murdaugh. So the kennel video is 8:44, where Alex is placed minutes before the scene of the crime. They died sometime around 8:49. It's like, oh, so Alex was there.
I'm so fascinated in the process of being able to, you know, basically they're just like timing the degeneration of the cells. Mm-hmm. To be like, it started at this, and I'm just like, damn, dude.
Basically, they were using the information from the coroner who pronounced them dead at the scene of the crime by putting his hands in the dead body's armpits, like superstar style, and based on the temperature, he estimated their time of death.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let me tell you, no, dude, wow. And there's so much in the news.
It's so juicy. It's the, you know, I want to say, Alex Murdaugh, thank you. Even though you have taketh awayeth, you know, in a sort of ultimate way, you also are giving us so much, and we will make science out of this brain of yours that we will now study and learn from. We're doing science. Okay. 8:44. Let's call that the beginning of the end of this story. Okay. So first of all, do you remember what Alex's sun and moon were?
Gemini.
Okay, so here we are at the scene of the crime. It's just all fucking phenomenal. I can't wait to dive in. I've been studying this research. Anybody write grants? We need a research grant. We're doing criminal astrology. The sun is at 17 degrees Gemini. The North Node is at 10 degrees Gemini. And Mercury. We're going to start with Mercury because when we're looking at an event chart, the perpetrator, like the character, we're going to look at Mercury, right? Now, what's interesting here, too, is Mercury is in Gemini, which is a double-bodied sign. Again, interesting that there were two murder victims. Interesting that there were two different guns used. Interesting that he is a Gemini with obviously split personalities to whatever degree, and that there is talk of, and I do think we could find out somehow, some way that like maybe his brother was like the other shooter or something. Like maybe there was another shooter. Maybe. It couldn't have been Buster because all he fucking cared about was Buster going back to law school and saving the family's name.
Poor Buster. Like he's the real victim here.
He is. And
he's an orphan.
We also need to do some more research on him. If anything.
Well, he's about to get everything.
Well, there is nothing. He's about to inherit all of his father's debts. No, it's
well,
a bad
that's
decision,
right. That's right. That's right.
No, he gets nothing. He gets nothing. Like that's part of what Alex. Look, we are all a Murdaugh. And so like, how do I cut my arm off without like killing myself? It's like killing the arms of the family, but keeping something alive that still had a shot. Buster's life was just beginning. He was about to go back to school to get his law degree because he wasn't really being prosecuted for manslaughter yet, and they didn't catch him and his gay lover romping around before we offed him. he could get this money scot-free and then I could just be out of trouble, you know, like he mm-hmm. was thinking, like there was long-term thinking of the old Capricorn kind, but now it's just, it's like new regime, baby, this is the end. And that might have worked back in the day
when there was no Snapchat.
Right, that might have worked pre-Snapchat. Right, that's why those years where all the pedophiles were working at Disney, it's like, of course they were, they basically didn't have phones.
They didn't have anyone to tell on them.
Okay, let's fucking bang this astrology out. Okay, I'm just gonna try to run my fucking mouth. So, scene of the crime. And actually, let's get his chart up real quick. Alec Murdaugh. Okay, so let's remember, just again, it's interesting to look at degrees here. His moon is at 10 degrees Gemini. His Mars is at 13 Gemini. His sun is at 6 Gemini. At the literal moment that that kennel video that would then land him in jail for double the rest of his life, the north node in the sky was exactly on his moon, his soul. His Mars was where the sun is. So he is like literally called on a soul level into aggressive action. When we're doing crime scene astrology, Mercury is the perpetrator. Saturn at the scene of the crime, at the moment of the Moselle Murdaughs, was exactly trine both Alex, sun, moon, and Mars, but also the crime scene, sun, Mercury, and north node. So that means that Saturn was basically making it possible to, in real life, carry out the thing that he was going to, you know, trying to do. What was it that was the what for? Saturn is teaching us lessons. Saturn is giving us boundaries, restrictions, blocks. So in that moment in time in the sky, in the chart of this murder, it was second house, resources, money. Also, Pluto at 26 degrees Capricorn in the sky in this chart of this moment is also in the second house. So it's basically like he is the character who in his sixth house, work life, and on an ego level doesn't understand why he actually, even though he does have all of this like power and Aquarian overarching governmental authority, why is Pluto Saturn in the second house? Why is he not able to actually make and keep any money? Like even if he's making millions of dollars, he still can't fill the hole. He cannot make up these gaps, right? Now, we also have Jupiter. Saturn is about to move into Pisces. We have his Jupiter is, or not his, the crime scene's Jupiter is at 1 degree Pisces, still in the second house. And then Neptune with Pallas Athena, the last minute game changing strategist, new strategy, is in Pisces, square the sun, the north node, and the Mercury, the crime scene. So basically, this is not only are things going to get confusing and kind of messy, like all of the sun, Mercury, north node energy square Neptune with like the thinker, the strategist in the third house, edging towards the fourth house. Like third house is like your family, your local community, siblings. It's the Gemini house. So it's basically, and also Pisces, Jupiter in Pisces, there's an expansion energy of the confusion of the Piscean watery whatever, right? It's unclear how much money he stole or who actually did the crimes, or you know what I mean? There's a lot of like, what? Like, even though a lot of this is pretty straightforward, he was there at the scene of the crime, it's also kind of fuzzy and confusing. And he also was coming from a place of ultimately the resource he chose was Neptune, and Pisces can oftentimes represent drugs. So it's like, all right, well, fuck it. If I can't get the money flowing, if I can never get our legacy back, I'm going to get all the drugs. And then I have an idea. I'm just going to kill them, kill myself, and Buster will carry on the Murdaugh name. Literally, that's what this is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much I could go on and on and on. I will try not to. But okay, just other interesting thing. The South Node in this chart is the rising of the of that video of the murder is in Sagittarius in the 12th house. We're doing Placidus in the 12th house of this chart, but almost just inching into the 12th house is the wife asteroid, South Node. So there's a wife being left behind, 12th house, annihilated, eliminated, right?
Oh my God.
And the North Node is focusing on what we're actually going to do in real time to like solve this problem, be of service. I genuinely think this is a mercy killing. I think he thought that he was safe. Maggie wore fur coats. She was like a, you know, she was a, he even said like, fucking kill me if that's how my husband describes it. But he's like, they're like, describe your wife, and she's like, hey, she was a real girly girl. Like, and it's like, okay, what does that even mean? But really, it's like she's getting left in the dust. Also, the South Node can indicate jail. I mean, not the South Node. The 12th house can indicate jail. So, you know, Neptune in the third and fourth house, there's a ton of deception that he is creating within his family that actually ends up having his no child left behind. No, this time child and wife left behind.
Dude, all the children left behind because Buster's got nobody now.
Well, you can't wait to see their charts. But really, the Chiron right on the IC of this fourth house where his North Node and Saturn are, he is literally here wounding from within the whole family's identity, the whole family's sense of self. It's fucking fascinating. And then at the time of the crime, the moon in the sky was conjunct Lilith and conjunct Uranus and the mother asteroid Ceres in the fifth house of children. This is literally the soul being compelled from that male Lilith energy where it's like whatever he's been repressing, he has been wanting to do this for quite some time. And he does think the world is going to be safer and better for everybody if they all just die because of the money. So he does something Uranus fucking out of control to his children and to the mother of his children. And in a way that you do genuinely get the sense that he thought about and thought it was like kind of creative, kind of fun. The other interesting thing about it is that at the scene of the murder, Mercury, who we think of as the murderer, is right at the cusp, but just stepping over the line at the infamous 22 degree. We talk about it all the time. The 22 degree being the kill or be killed degree in the seventh house of marriage and marital partnerships in Gemini partnerships mirrors. So he is actually doing the work of being the partner who kills his partner.
Oh my God. Dude.
You see what I'm saying? Like he was stepping into the, he was the husband that did this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the 22nd degree is that kill or be killed degree. I think he literally thought like,
well, 22 also Gemini, the two and the two.
Right. Duality. The two numbers, 22 and 18 are really, and if you have them in your chart, don't panic. So does Prince Harry. So do a lot of really famous people because it's kill or be killed. The 18th degree is essentially evil or the ability to like fight evil, but it's the awareness that there's a presence. I mean, it's also in the Jewish tradition. It's also life-giving. So it's not necessarily 18 isn't just like,
bah. Wow, that Sarah, 6 + 6 + 6 is 18, 666. Wow. That's really interesting to me right now.
That's interesting to me too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, Satan or Santa, you know?
Yeah.
But really, Gemini, it's like
Gemini.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's also really interesting because if we look at the transits of the sky right now, like today, so this is right now, look how much energy is focused here in Aries, where his North Node and his Saturn are. And in this chart of the murder, it's really focusing us all in on the home and the wars that were going on within the home and the wounding caused within the home, all because of money and power. And then the desire to keep secrets and to actually try to help the ones that you love by killing them.
No biggie.
No big. And then also interesting too, like the MC of the event is in Libra. So we are talking about a marital issue. We are talking about somebody that was just trying, seeking balance, trying to make it look X, Y, and Z ways. But because of the way that certain things looked, it was impossible to not come to justice, right? We ended up having justice in the end because now he is going to prison. Also, the ninth house of this chart, it's like, you know, what is Virgo if not pets and animals? The Vesta, the purpose, like the torch that's from a different life, sort of leading us into this new higher ninth house, higher learning, ninth house justice was the dog kennel and the dog kennel video, which led to justice. Love to see it. Simply love to see it. Also, the crime scene chart has Mars and Venus both in Cancer, which not only are opposing Pluto, but at this time with Mars and Venus both in Cancer, there is an energy of domestic violence in some way. Yeah. You know, and also interesting to note, Mercury is retrograde in this chart. So the person who was about to do the crime might not have been square Neptune thinking that clearly. And it might have been on square Neptune drugs. What's also fascinating is today in the sky and what we're moving into in the month of March, like Mars has been in Gemini since August. Do you understand how long that is? Usually Mars spends maybe 5 to 6 weeks max in a sign. For Mars to be, which Mars is usually a super fast moving planet. So yeah, it's effective. It's decisive. It cuts its war, but it's like also keeps it moving. You know, it's like, okay, well, whoops. In this case, very rare for Mars to be in Gemini from August until it still is in Gemini. It just got out of the retrograde phase, which actually, I mean, let's see, where is Mars in the sky right now? Or not the retro shade phase. Mars is at 20. I actually think it might have even been later, but I need to double check what the degree was when it went retrograde, but it's like right around, it's like we're still in the shadow grade, but it's like, yeah, everything is being revisited that's been
from August.
In Gemini. Well, from August, no, in August, we started to understand the new start, understand the new vision, the new story. Then on Halloween until January, Mars went retrograde. So it was like, oh, you think that's the story? Okay. Then in January, Mars started to move forward again, but it got to 8 Gemini, and then it started moving back into Gemini. So we had to revisit not only the story that we thought we figured out, but then the things that we thought then meant we were fucked. And now It's just starting to come out of the phase of like, oh, actually, we might be still in Gemini, but we are in different territory and we're moving towards Cancer. We're finally going to leave. Mars in Gemini can be really scattered. Anything Gemini, it's lol. It's why this podcast, like I'm a Gemini rising. It explains a lot about me. Like anything Gemini is going to be like this and that. It's this and that or this or that. Mm-hmm. It's unfocused. It's frenetic. It's a little bit of everything. It's everyone. It's all the different ideas, you know? Mm-hmm. Shallow, quick, Kanye just saying stuff. Not that it doesn't have or hold deeper meaning, or that it actually, to me, talking it out and play is how I do my work. To me, that's the most essential form of creative evolution. But, you know, is it because it's exacting and true? No, it's because that's how we're fucking around and we're finding out, you know? Mm-hmm. It's open mics. So anyway, all this to say that at that time, before Mars even entered, at this time, Mars is in Cancer. So Mars, from the time this happens, moves all the way around the zodiac. That's how fast Mars moves. So in a year, it's back, but then it gets stuck in Gemini, where Alex everything is and where the scene of the crime took place. And in this case, Mars in Cancer, he's in the eighth house. He was trying to get some debts covered and fix a domestic issue by just offing the domestic people in the story. Oh, you know,
yeah.
It's so dark. Okay, but now we can move on to the charts of the people, and I'll try to be quick with it. But does that all make sense? Any questions?
I just love to think of him like making these decisions. Like in his mind, he's like, "All right, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna kill Mags. I'm gonna kill Papa. I'm gonna just let Buster take on the legacy." And then to be like, "Dad would be so proud of me right now. Dad would be so proud of me right now. The way I'm protecting the family name and the family crest. Dad would be so proud of me right now." No,
I literally do think that like he sort of thinks that.
It's
I think he's like, Buster's gonna see that we always find our way out. Like, we always find
not
our
even
way
Buster.
Through.
It's like, I got you, grandpops. I got you, daddy. I'm not going to let you down. That's what I had Buster for.
No, Buster is literally like, why didn't you just die? I just want to be gay and out of law school. If you're in law school and you're getting got for plagiarism,
why couldn't it have been you, daddy?
Download the Patreon app or go to patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. We have the charts for all the key players, and a shit is wild. Fucking fascinating. patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.